This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Monday, a good day for it.
Nobody likes Mondays. You gotta. The
best show for Chicago. I mean, God, Dak. Dak, Steph, what's this?
What's good? I'm just saying.
Oh, God.
There's
a doctor somewhere doing it.
What is good? Do you want to go here? It's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Joined by the squad in the building. We got the pettiest man alive, Mr. P Kid. Stefan Adon in the building. The super producer trying to figure out what's going on with his mic. On today's episode, Dan Orlovsky believes that Justin Fields could possibly be an MVP candidate this season. Huh? Also, got to talk about what we saw from the Bears at rookie minicamp and how excited people are about Roschon Johnson. I mean, listen, they're loving the kid's leadership skills. I'm excited about it as well. Ladies and gentlemen, the date is 5/8/2023. And, Stefan Adon said Monday is a good day for a little bit of the off-camera stuff is always the most wild. Like, I wish
Booger Sugar.
Hey, bro. No, it wasn't even Booger Sugar. Booger Sugar, I feel like I could have dealt with. It was the fact that it was like he went straight to crack. It was like, oh God. Nobody knows that part. Hey man, appreciate you guys for tuning in to Show of Love. As always, man, hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Y'all out here blowing up all these other channels, man. I need y'all to do me a favor. Go ahead and
come on. Push the button.
Come on.
Push the button.
You might as well.
Come on, push the button.
You got nothing else going on.
Yeah, come on, push the button.
You just sitting here watching us.
You heard what she said.
You heard what Sue Young said. Push the button. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. We do talk Chicago sports daily.
We got to get the Bow Wow clip where you go like this.
Just
push the
button. Just had that mug on him.
Like he been holding on to that move for like 30 years, bro.
Hey, what's good, boys? How y'all feeling, man?
Man, feeling good, feeling great.
Long day, but we here.
Yeah,
we here. I'm ready to get it.
Hey, long day for sure. Got the Chicago Bears podcast in. Now coming over here to break down some more Bears talk. I love it. Appreciate you guys for showing love. Here's the thing, man. Dan Orlovsky, in support of Justin Fields, he went on Get Up to this morning and said that he believes that the Chicago Bears could have an MVP candidate this season in Justin Fields, that he believes that Justin Fields is going to take not a Jalen Hurts type leap, but more of a Josh Allen type leap, which kind of fits Justin a little bit more, in my opinion, if I'm being realistically honest. Like, he's more of a Josh Allen build, more of a Josh Allen. Like, Jalen Hurts, what is he, like 6'1"?
Hey, 6'1", but
6'1" on a good day? Yeah, if he's having a tall day, you know what I'm saying? So I think that he's more of a Josh Allen type. I think that they've gotten him weapons very similar to what Josh Allen went out and got. So I could see that a little bit more. But, right, like, that Josh Allen leap is what he's talking about. Boys, question on the table. Do you think that Justin Fields could be a 2023 MVP? Let's start with candidate. Let's at least go to candidate out here.
I hate Steve-O.
Steve-O in the chat. Prepare to get pissed at P-Kid on this topic.
I'll let Kid go.
Why I got to go first now?
We want to know your opinions.
I think that's too much pressure. I think that's too much pressure for the kid. I'm going to be honest with you. I want him to succeed. But to make the leap from, hey, he could be a decent QB or good QB to MVP candidate is a monstrous leap. Now, I like the fact that the national media is showing some light and showing some love to Chicago. I really do. It's been a while since we've been able to say this and really feel positive about it throughout the season, throughout the city, rather, right? But let's be honest, man. Like, it's that's a huge leap to go from where we were to that. By the way, MVP candidate, who were the candidates for last year? What, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Aaron Rodgers,
Josh Allen.
Yep.
Josh Allen. Was he really there? Was Josh Allen really?
Josh Allen was in there pretty much at the end. Josh kind of lost it at the end of the season, but for the most part, he was in there. I think the thing with what the thing to me, right, is that you have to also take into account what the Chicago Bears season is going to be. Realistically, right, when you're talking about an MVP season, you have to ask yourself, first off, do you think Justin Fields is going to go from 175 passing yards a game to 310? I don't believe that. I think that he'll be around 220, 230 passing yards a game. He'll probably get to a point where he's probably about 50 to 60 rushing yards a game, which still is a little too much for my blood, if I'm being 100% honest. That's a lot of freaking rushing yards, but I think that that's kind of right the range we'll end up seeing him being, because I think there still will be some need for his legs, some need for some rushing ability on this team. But realistically, right, if you're big on Justin Fields possibly being an MVP candidate, you're talking about him being around Lamar Jackson range. Lamar Jackson, his MVP season, had 3,100 passing yards. Now, he still had 1,200 rushing yards. I hope we're not there, but he had 3,100 passing yards, 36 touchdowns, only six interceptions. Only seven of those touchdowns were rushing touchdowns. So basically 29 passing touchdowns, six interceptions. And he did that in 15 games. Had a heck of a season. I'm not begrudging the statement that he can win MVP, but it has to be tied to something very important. Lamar Jackson only lost two games that season.
Talk to me.
What we need to be looking at, what we need to be talking about. If you believe that this Bears team is going to win 14 games this season, then yes, Justin Fields can be an MVP. But I will tell you this right now. Justin Fields will not be an MVP candidate with 7 to 9 wins. 10-win season, okay, he's on the cusp. A 10-win season, I could see him being on the cusp. Unless he's coming out right and he's finishing games, like we have a 7-win season, but he's throwing like 350 yards a game and adding another 50 rushing yards. Like, you're talking about astronomical numbers at that point.
The funny thing is, and Steph gives me so much like flack for this, because I use and I hate on Lamar Jackson so much in his opinion.
He also got his bag.
He got his bag. It wasn't what he wanted, but he got his bag, right? It wasn't what was reported either, but he got his bag. It was kind of closer to what they already offered him, but he got his bag. Anyway,
without the agent, but you know.
Hey, listen, without the agent, sure. I bet you won't try that again, though. Anyway, here's the thing, and here's why I say Lamar Jackson, I bring him up a lot with Justin Fields. Yeah. It's because Justin Fields is not thrown for that many yards. So who's the closest MVP of the last 4 or 5 years that didn't throw for a whole lot of yards, but actually got to that point and got to that precipice where they won MVP? It's Lamar Jackson.
We actually broke Lamar this down. There's two that really have done it. Both Lamar Jackson did it, and then Steve McNair in 2003 had 3,200 passing yards.
Like, let's be real here. Yeah. If we look at the MVPs also, of the last 10.
A lot of wins.
You look at the MVPs of the last 5, 6 years, most of them threw for way more yards.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, you got to really understand. I'm really comparing them to the only person who's done it the way that I can envision him doing it. Using his legs as much, because I still think that that's going to be there. And being able to throw maybe 200 to 250 yards a game. Lamar Jackson MVP season, he threw for 208 yards a game.
Basically,
on average.
That's what it breaks down to, 208 yards a game on average. The thing I will say, though, and I'll get Ringo's opinion on this. Do we expect Justin Fields to be the player he was last season?
No, we
expect the type of quarterback that he was last season.
No, you gotta ask me that like a couple games in. I don't know.
But you can see that on paper though.
Yeah.
I mean you can see that on paper with the weapons that they brought in. We already know that Khalil Herbert is a capable backup. Everybody's been raving about Roshan Johnson since he's came to camp. The one thing that Pat did say is that when Roshan was at Texas, they said that he wasn't Bijan's running back. He went with Bijan, which is something that I feel like we got to take into account. I think that Kid is absolutely right in the stuff that he said about comparing him close to Lamar Jackson season. But the one thing that I feel like Justin won't have, the reason why he won't get MVP, but I feel like he'll be a candidate, is the legs element, because the running back system will be so much better with Roshan Johnson and Khalil Herbert that he won't actually need to do that.
Yeah,
I think that's my biggest point to it.
Right. That's really my view on this. And by the way, 52 people in here, 13 likes. Hit that like button, man. Let's get 52 likes on this video right now. Hit that button for us, man. Appreciate you guys for showing love. Here's my realistic thoughts on this. I don't want Justin Fields to be anything like the quarterback that we saw last season. I don't want Justin Fields to be anything like the quarterback that we saw last season, realistically. Because the quarterback that we saw last season was not the Justin Fields that we drafted. The hope is that with a better offensive line to protect, with as we're welcoming in the super producer Joel Holt into the building.
Hey,
fellas. By the way, shout out to him.
Joe, what's going on, man?
Hey, boys.
Hey, why Joe look like he realized his lips was ashy when he first got on and immediately threw some Vaseline on? He jumped up in it. Right? Like, it felt like he was like, oh, my mic's messed up. Hey, baby, can you go get me the Vaseline real quick?
I feel like Pat is like trying to push this chapstick. Sponsorship.
Oh, brought to you by the super producer Joel Holt.
Actually, no, I got.
If your lips are wrong, help the super producer.
My sweetie pie
get right.
Just came home. She just came home. That's all that was.
You can take that so many different ways on this channel, Joe. Don't do that to yourself.
You're the girl. Hey, who makes me feel so good.
With friends like you, who needs enemies?
Hey, man. But no, I think that realistically, right? Like when you're talking about what you want to see from Justin Fields coming into this season, you want to see the Justin Fields that we saw in college. You want to see the guy that was dropping back, able to deliver the football, able to deliver deep shots. That's why you go out and you get Tyler Scott. Hopefully, Velus Jones is able to have a bounce back season. We'll see what that ends up being. That's why you have Darnell Mooney for the underneath. That's why you have Cole Kmet for the underneath. Hopefully seeing him be able to take those underneath routes more often as well. And then now you got DJ Moore to be your number one option at the wide receiver position, along with Chase Claypool to give you a big body. He has options. I need to see a passer this season. I should not see Justin Fields with the Smush Parker Kobe mentality of you not getting the ball because you suck.
Hey, Pat, so I was looking this up. Can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was looking this up. So based off what everybody's talking about, this leap, Josh Allen had, 4,500 yards passing?
Yeah.
And that's in the third year.
That number three season, yeah.
Right. And then Jalen Hurts having his third year last year, he was about 3,500 yards passing. So whatever we're expecting to see, I think to your point, this is the most balanced receiving core I think we've ever had for a Bears offense, and him learning this system in the second year, we should see a good year. And the fact that he could single-handedly probably win 3 to 4 games himself, I'm not going to sit there and say MVP, but he's definitely going to make himself he's a formidable quarterback this year.
I think the thing that's missing out of everybody that you just mentioned, right? Because me and Pat agree on this. Lamar Jackson. I mean, J.K. Dobbins is cool. Didn't really have a backup, so they had to utilize Lamar. Josh Allen, run game.
Josh Allen's got a nice running game. He's got a few options there.
Josh Allen is a run game.
Right, he is a run game, and he's got options to run. You know what I mean?
Jalen Hurts. I mean, Miles Sanders was cool, but I mean, if correct me if I'm wrong, he had over 10 plus rushing touchdowns by himself.
Yeah.
So I mean, like I said. I think that they sleep on this run on this running back duo, and Justin can really make that a trio.
Yeah. I mean, we got so many running backs in the backfield. It really is a trio right now.
Legit. It's crazy. And this is not me hating on Justin. I think that he's going to have a phenomenal season, but I mean, I think that the legs element is going to be missed, but those are good things, because later on you see all of those quarterbacks, right? I mean, even Jalen, he got hurt in the Bears game. Josh Allen hurt his elbow. Lamar Jackson, Kia like bringing this up. He missed like eight games in like two seasons. So I mean, it's like he won't really need to use his legs.
The funny thing about that is, right? Everybody always talks about. Everybody always talks about Lamar getting hurt as if Lamar got hurt running. Lamar got hurt in the pocket every time.
like he got landed on
in the pocket every time. Hey, pocket. If that's what you want to call it.
What's always my thing? Okay, where you got hurt? You ain't available.
Air it out.
You know what?
You got some things.
The difference, but see, the whole point is that, are they scheming around this guy's talent? It's not so much that we need him stay in the pocket. It's, will they design better rollout plays? The game we saw against the Patriots last year, I think, is kind of what we're going to see. That type of offense, hopefully with a better defense, that's the kind of balanced, dangerous offense that we probably could have.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I look at what Lamar Jackson and them did, he's a limited passer.
Yeah.
But they schemed something for his skill set. Josh Allen, now, that's a guy that made himself better, because I honestly would have wrote him off.
They helped him.
He came in.
Brian Daboll.
Listen, he came in with a 58% completion percentage coming out of college. That barometer for so many years was very indicative of how good a quarterback was going to be when they got to the pros. So you had to at least be 60% to completion. So, like, for him to come out, it was like, oh, he's not going to even pan out. And he willed himself to be a much better quarterback. But they also had limited options. Like, we have way better options for Justin Fields than I've seen in a long time.
I got to add this to it, though. One, we have to understand that this is not just on Justin and his ability to throw. It's also what the game plan is and how coach goes about really, you know, what he implements in this scheme for this year. No matter what we say, if the game plan is to be a run first offense or to have a dominant run game, those type of QBs don't get those nods, no matter how good they are, because you will always say that your run game carried them. In this sense, I look at some of the people that we've compared him to with some of the people we're hoping that he can be, you know, make that leap with. And I look at the attempts. If the game plan doesn't call for Justin to throw that much, then he's not going to be in these conversations simply because he's not going to have the opportunity. You look at Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts took 460 attempts last season to be in that conversation to get 3,700 yards. Yeah. Justin took 318. You look at Josh Allen, who I think is, again, the best comparison, same size, similar build, kind of runs, uses his wheels. That man threw for nearly 600 attempts, 567 attempts. He completed more passes than Justin attempted. But they're a pass first offense, right? They have a run game, but they're a pass first offense. You're looking at Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers even did that. The only person I can really compare him to who even got close, who won MVP and had close to the same amount of attempts, was Lamar Jackson. And look at what you said. Look at the game plan. Did they scheme around him and stuff like that? But even still, let's be honest.
A lot of passing touchdowns, too.
He had a lot of passing touchdowns. Short
still
passes,
had 29 passing touchdowns.
Short passes, though. Like really close. Like, we don't
I mean,
give,
yeah, he gets
like,
him,
we don't
he gets
really acknowledge
too.
That.
He has some deep shots, too. But he does, more times than not, use his legs to get you in a position. Here's the thing, though.
It's
what you want from your quarterback, right? Like, here's the thing. We can't sit here and say, I don't want my quarterback to run at all anymore, because realistically, that's how Patrick Mahomes is a two-time Super Bowl champ right now. Because if he doesn't make that run for, what, 15, 18 yards on the sideline, it might have been 13, whatever it is, right? Like, if he doesn't make that run at that point, they don't win the Super Bowl. We're sitting here talking about the Philadelphia Eagles winning another Super Bowl, or winning the Super Bowl. Oh, winning another one. They did win one under Arthur Smith is the owner there, I think, or the GM there?
No, that's Arthur Smith.
Is that Atlanta? Is that Atlanta? I feel like that's Blank. Atlanta.
Arthur Blank is the owner of it.
I do have to show love to Don Burke. He came in full effect. And this is the one thing I will say. Don Burke's absolutely correct about this. Justin Fields has to be better than Jared Goff. Justin Fields hasn't had the opportunity
Justin
to be better
Fields
than
Jared
Goff.
Justin Fields just got to win more than Jared Goff. We've looked at quarterbacks in a season and said he's not better than him, but we'll say he did more to win the game. That's realistically all it would have to do.
I still say this. Jared Goff completed 65% of his passes last season, and he made over 500 attempts, which he completed 65% of.
They had a winning record.
I don't defend Detroit for anything. Like, I hate Detroit. Detroit is trash. It's a municipality. It's not a city. And y'all know.
Hey, dude, wait. I'm listening to the press conference not too long ago. Yeah. And Don Burr's on there, and they hate Don Burr.
I gotta
meet this guy. He's like, Don Burr, you suck. Hey, get out of here, Don Burr.
Don came in last year one day with Don Burr 2.0, and I was like, why are you in here with this burner account? And he was like, they blocked me on everything else. So he made another one. I love him. He's a guy level troll.
But does he live in Chicago?
No, he's in Detroit. He's from Detroit.
Why does he troll Bears?
I don't know. I love it though. Here's what I will say.
Here's what I will say though.
Scheme doesn't always lead to production, right? The opportunity for something to happen doesn't mean that that's how the play is going to out the outcome of the play is going to be. What I mean is this. Lou Getsy said this in a press conference yesterday. A third of Justin Fields' runs last season were designed pass plays that broke down. That's 53 plays. 53 plays last season were designed pass plays that broke down, and Justin had to turn that into something. This season, that means 53 possible more attempts, or even more possibly, right? If you have his second year in the system, second year in this offense, you feel a lot better about him actually delivering the football, right? But that means that out of 160 rush attempts last year, Justin Fields could have passed 53 more times. That's opportunities to gain those yards, get those passing attempts. Now you're talking about him having, what, 365 passing attempts? That's a normal season for a quarterback. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now we're talking about an actual quarterback season. So I think the point that I'm making is the Justin Fields we want to see coming into this year, it should be nothing like the Justin Fields last year, but it's also based on the opportunity that the players afford him. This season, I think that he'll have more opportunity to stand back there and actually play the quarterback position, because while I don't know the health of everybody on paper right now, Braxton Jones, Cody Whitehair, Tevin Jenkins, Nate Davis, and Darnell Wright looks a heck of a lot better than seeing Larry Borum at three spots on the depth chart.
Yeah.
Little old Michael Schofield out here. Mr. Riley Reef out here. You know what I mean? You had hope.
No, the reality was it was a wait and see approach. This wasn't, they figured, let's see what we have. Maybe we're an 8-8 type of team. We'll see what Fields is about. What pieces do we have to barter and trade with? So to me, they got about halfway through the season, they saw what was going on. Okay, I know who we can build around. Yeah. We have at least identified five to 10 people, and then we can build from there.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing about that, though, is I mean, halfway through last season and this entire offseason, like, Paul just stayed the course. I mean, he even said it in an exit meeting, like, yo, like, Justin already showed with his legs that he's, like, the elite of the elite. Like, if he would have played the last game, he probably would have broke Lamar Jackson's
record. He would have brung about running for his life.
He was like, yo, now we got to actually sit here and get this dude weapons. So now he's actually done that. So they're taking steps in the right direction.
Yeah.
Do I think that he could be the MVP? No. Could he be a candidate? Yeah.
Well, it depends if they win. Who cares? I mean, that's all we want is consistent.
Yeah,
I don't care that win.
Here's what I'll say about it all, right?
If Chicago's winning, somebody's gonna be in the MVP race.
Yeah,
like it doesn't matter. Like it's Chicago. DeMar DeRozan was an MVP two seasons ago. Right? For like half a season, yeah. We were like, could DeMar win the MVP? And me and Kid are like, are we asking this?
Like, really?
Like, what are we doing right now?
I mean, but what's the point? The point is, like, we get to a point where we, first of all, for the first time in a long time, we have an offensive identity.
Am I going to have to die? No.
That is kind of how it feels. Am I going to have to die for the Bears to have an offense?
Right. So now you have.
What's up, Hayes?
They have something set up on both sides of the field. We know the cover two.
Yeah.
We know the Tampa 2 defense. Yep. Like, we know that. Like, we're familiar. Like, we understand the under tackle, the nose tackle. We understand all of that stuff. And now to finally get a scheme, and then we got a quarterback in year two of this. Like, what continuity have we had from the offensive side that we're able to at least be excited for? I mean,
excited is the key word. I was like, we had continuity. It just was terrible. It was terrible continuity. Matt Nagy was here long enough to implement his system.
Yeah,
I got to give more credit to Pat. And I know he probably did it because he was comparing the size and stature of the QBs. But if you really look at Josh Allen's career, it's a heck of a take. Because Josh Allen, year two, 3,000 yards.
Yeah.
They had a winning record. Good team, good running. I think they had a good running core. I would say they did. But, I mean, that's just me being outside in, and this is years ago. I don't really remember those games. If you look at year three,
I don't know if they had a core. They had a nice running. Who was they back that year? It was
Singletary, and they had
they had a nice core actually.
They had Singletary, and they had Breida.
Singletary, no, they had Singletary, Breida, and who was the number one?
They had Frank Gore.
I'm not trying to go down that rabbit hole, but
don't
bring up
Madden.
The reason I'm bringing that up is
realistically is if you look at what changed for Josh Allen, he got a good receiver. The year he got Stephon Diggs, he has 100 more. He has 100 more attempts.
Yeah,
he cracks 4,500 yards. Yeah. Before then, that's a 1,500 yard gap.
Yeah,
right. So the fact that we got a good receiving core room for Justin now adds so much opportunity for him to take this leap. So now that I really look at it, and I probably, like, again, Pat mentioned Josh Allen. I didn't necessarily hear Josh Allen's name come up in Dan Orlovsky's take. But to just relate it to someone of recent history, with the new offensive line and receivers, this is actually possible. Like, Josh Allen was a Pro Bowl. Now, he didn't win MVP that year, but, I mean, you got to think of it. Man. He went 4,500 yards. He had a nice –
I'm happy with
him. Hey, listen. The reason he didn't win MVP that year is because I'm pretty sure Patrick Mahomes threw 5,000 yards.
Yeah, that's true. A little technicality
competition. Really tough competition.
Can you imagine throwing 4,500 yards? What was it? It was like 36 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, or 8 interceptions, something like that. Like, something crazy. Hey, and you lose because
stat line,
some
bro.
Dude is out here with 5,000 passing yards.
Well,
this man had 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 INTs, a completion rate of 69%.
Nice.
They won 13 games. It was 13-3. This dude had a monster season. Didn't win MVP.
Yeah, well.
I mean, the thing is, he
Pat Mahomes won it with no tackles.
Yeah, I think he accounted for it with 6,000 total yards, I believe, or something close to it.
Who, Mahomes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, Mahomes.
1,000 yards.
Again, rushing. Now Mahomes comes into a situation, a number one team, established running game, Hall of Fame tight end, good offensive line, and they actually had a good defense at that time because they were basically playing the manager game with Alex Smith when he was there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're like, we could just basically hand this right off to him.
Yeah.
And so they've kind of are trying to build – this is a very balanced team that we're building right now.
Yes.
And it looks good. I don't know how strong our linebackers are, you know, in terms of, you know, Tremaine Edmonds and – and all them to see that those three. But the cornerbacks, I'm excited about. This D-line, we still got gaps on that. But this offense, two tight ends, two decent tight ends. Yeah. And if this line really holds, it's like, wow, this is actually going to be very scary. And I do – oh, is, well, do we – I don't want to pivot yet because I do wonder if we got a steal in this draft. Hey, with,
let's pivot real quick.
But I just got to make this because we got to put some respect on this man's name. Like you were right, Patrick Mahomes is doing the thing. 4,700 yards, 38 touchdowns, six INTs. My man was out. God damn. Yeah, he was my man was going nuts.
Here's the tough
Patrick Mahomes hates Josh Allen, for real. It's like every time Josh Allen says a good season, Patrick Mahomes is like, here's one for you.
That's like the older brother.
Yeah.
He's always doing better than me.
Here's the tough part about it, right? And it's not tough. It's so quickly changing so many people's minds. You know how good you have to be to change somebody as old as Joel's mind? Josh Allen, I'm sorry, not Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes is quickly becoming the greatest quarterback that we've ever seen.
He's on his way.
Well, he has 192 touchdowns already.
He's on his way.
I'm not saying that he's there yet, but we've never seen a start to a football career like this.
Yeah, but I'm saying this Mahomes, if he doesn't get seven championships, but he gets five. Is he better than Tom? Because we know Tom didn't win all those championships by himself.
Here's the thing, though. It depends. It depends on the second half of the career, right? Because for Tom, the first half of the career was boom, boom. He comes in, he's winning.
He was a manager.
And then there was a gap.
He was a manager.
What was that? Was that 10 years between championships?
It was almost 10 years.
And then he comes back and he starts winning again, winning again, winning again.
You know what? That's a good point. Now, check it. He goes bananas when he gets Randy Moss. That's also him mastering the offense that was probably tailored for him.
Yeah.
Because he was a manager. Dink and dunk, get it down the field. And then Adam Vinatieri.
What in dunk?
Dink and dunk.
Ah, okay.
Dink.
Yes, we're children, Joel. Laugh.
You guys are so mature.
We're not mature.
Yeah. Anyways, dink and dunk down the field and then hand it off.
You had to get in the mic for that?
Huh?
Yeah, you had to yell into the mic for that?
Forget it, guys. You guys suck.
Hey, man.
No, I just think that there was a maturation process of him being more of a game manager. And then by the time he really mastered him, what was it, 07, 08, when he got Randy Moss? So from 2000, so he really had it. I can't be sick of these guys. They're like my little brothers. You know?
Can I just say this, though?
What's up?
He may have been legitimately the Michael Jordan of football, if you really look at it. Like, if his career ended today, he's already in a GOAT conversation.
Yeah, but the thing with Michael Jordan was 10 years into his career. This is Pat Mahomes year 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Year one, he was in the AFC title game.
Yeah, right? Like year two, Larry Bird called him God in disguise.
Yeah, and they didn't win.
Yeah,
well, that was talent. Mike didn't have the talent around him.
Hey, he was God in disguise out the playoffs.
I just feel like without a ring, though, they already considered him one of the greatest that ever touched the ball. Like,
he wasn't that's a GOAT, what I'm talking about. He didn't become a GOAT till he won three, the three-peat. He had to stand above Magic and Larry. The point is, does Mahomes – it's very hard. Football's different. Because I don't like
it's
how they
very
try to
different.
It's hard to, if the left tackle doesn't block for you, you're not getting anywhere. Like basketball, you can will yourself.
Check out. I've dropped this a couple of times. Check out Tom Waddle's breakdown. I believe he was on 2 weeks ago. Last week. He was on last week. I want to say Thursday or Friday. Check out his breakdown of what it takes to complete a 5 yard pass.
I believe
a 5 yard pass.
I can believe.
He said he broke it down with teams that he's on, right? So he's like, well, if Harbaugh doesn't drop back.
You don't have to go through it now. We totally get it, dog. You just said that so many times. It's your favorite clip. Like, it's so much your favorite clip. I know what you're going to say.
But here's the thing. The reason it's my favorite clip is because, like, when people sit here and break down football and they're sitting in these positions that we're sitting in here. And while, listen, I'm all for everybody having an opinion. Some people sound stupid. A lot of people sound stupid.
They don't watch the games.
A lot of people
sound stupid.
Listen, here's the thing. We watch the games, right? But we don't watch the games how they watch the games. Right? So we're sitting there. We're like, you should be able to make that pass. We don't talk about the fact that the guard didn't pull.
Yeah.
We don't talk about the fact that the running back missed his block. We don't talk about the fact that the receiver didn't get off of the line quick enough. We don't talk about, right? Like, there's so much that goes into 5 yards. And now you got to get 100. Right.
Yep.
You got to get down the field. Hey, man, let's make some money out here, man. We got to pay some bills real quick. And then we're going to get into it. I do like that Joe brought up the shift. I said shift. S-H-I-F-T. I said shift. I like that he brought up the shift because I really believe that we might have a prospect who could be the steal of this draft, and it may not be the person that you're thinking of. But first, hold on. Let's put Kid full screen out here real quick. Kid always keeping that. You got the jacket on? You ain't got the jacket today, on today? Dog. Oh, dang. Today. He let us down. Kid always got today, the pop on that mug. Hey, listen.
It was hot.
If you are a fan of any sports team, right? That's why you're here anyway. And you're looking for high-quality merch to wear to watch the Bears and or Bulls. Goat Coat has you covered. Here's the thing about Goat Coat, though. It is stylish wear that is very concealing on the fandom. That's because they put the jersey inside of the bomber jacket, sewn into the bomber jacket. It is a perfect jacket. If you want to go to a nice dinner before the game and or after the game, and maybe you don't want to be out there looking like the fanatic with the face paint and the full jersey and the bear claws on the hand. Keep the bear claws in you. Never mind. But anyway, if you are into your favorite teams and you want to show your support, make sure you show your support with Goat Coats, because Goat Coat is the only merch that is keeping it very stylish, very sleek, and very concealed for those interesting moments. Here's the thing. You can get any player on any team at any time into the jacket. And for a limited time, you can also get a discount with the promo code WINDYCITY. Or if you buy two or more items, you can get 15% off with the promo code WINDYCITY2. Make sure to be checking that out over at goatcoats.com. Check the description below for the link to the merch. Y'all stay safe out there. All right, boys. As we're keeping this thing moving along. A very interesting player has popped up as a leader in this rookie minicamp. Not only the fact that he's a leader, but also the fact that he's a really, really good player. Ringo brought his name up talking about Roschon Johnson. The fact that he was not viewed as the backup to Bijan Robinson, who Joel said we should take ninth overall.
Sure, I mean, it was close. They got a Texas running
back. I got out.
In the fourth round.
No, now you got what you wanted.
In the fourth round.
We got
the best of both worlds. We got the best of both worlds.
I wanted a playmaker. I wanted that dynamic playmaker. He gives me like Larry Johnson vibes. Like, he a big dude. Well, he's 6 feet.
Grandmama?
No, like Larry Johnson from Kansas. I'm old. Larry Johnson, Kansas City. Like, oh, them type of vibes.
I'm like, he give you grandma vibes? Like, what's going on here? You youngins, god dang it. No, but here's the thing, right? Roschon Johnson is quickly becoming a big name around the Chicago Bears organization. A lot of people love them. A lot of people are very big in what he's able to do. I have a very, very serious take on this guy. I believe that he'll be our starting running back by week 5. I think that he does everything that every other running back you have in that room does. I think that he is a really good runner. I think he's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. I think that he's a good blocker. Hey, Khalil Herbert, Deontay Foreman, Travis Homer.
He's just not I don't think he's a home run hitter, though.
I mean, what was his 40 time?
I think he has to be.
4 or 5.
He don't gotta be.
I think they got
Khalil.
Right, he can get you the big yards.
How we say 4 or 5, like 4 or 5 is slow.
I mean, when you got 4.2s and 4.3s showing up,
you got linebackers hitting 4.4. I mean, it makes a difference.
I think here's the thing. He's a hard style running back. He's a guy that's going to be in the backfield and be able to actually hold up with Justin Fields. I think that the fact that he's going to be able to pass block is going to be really instrumental to getting himself on the field. And I also believe that the fact that he has that leadership quality that's already being talked about. Like, here's how they keep talking about him. They're like, Roshan's amazing. He's really taking the lead on this. He's making these things happen. He's doing this in the practice. Oh, yeah, he can run the football, too.
Why can't he start week one? They got all mini camp. They got training camp. They got all that stuff.
I say this. Larry Johnson's career, I think they're going to give. If he turns out to be like him, good job.
I think they're going to give Khalil the opportunity to win that job, right? Like, I'm assuming Khalil heard all season he can't pass block. So the thing is, right, with Khalil's actual speed, if Khalil can come back and be a little bit better of a pass blocker, you would rather have the faster back in the backfield.
No, if we could create earth, wind, and fire, I would love that to protect Fields with a true running game like that. I mean, if we're looking at the blueprint is San Francisco and kind of Green Bay, where they had three running back monsters there, where, you know.
Yeah, but now one of your running backs is a wide receiver in San Francisco.
I just, dude, come on. Will you work with me? Jesus Christ. All I'm saying is.
but before they got him,
they had Elijah Mitchell.
They had Elijah Mitchell, Price.
They had like 3 or 4 guys, and kept just getting hurt.
That's really what it was. They did. And dudes just kept getting hurt, and they was like, "Get another one off the practice squad."
But they kept churning out. Like, if you could have all of them healthy, they had a serious, nice running back room.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I mean, Roshan
was a 4.58. He was a 4.58.
Yeah,
it's closer to 4.6. To be
honest, I was leaning that way, but yes, that's what I'm saying. He could probably, and he might get faster because now he's a full time athlete. You know, so, but
I don't think people be going all out on those 40s. I don't use that as a barometer anymore.
Right, because you know what? You're right. There's game speed versus being like pad speed, where you're
save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fuck. With in shorts versus playing in the game.
Yeah, because they always say you really don't know what people really got until it's time for pads. So,
well, who's didn't we get another? It was Tyler Scott, right? Where his unofficial time is like 4.29, but his official time is like 4.32.
And I'm like, still fast.
Still
fast either way.
I'm like.
Khalil Herbert was 4 or 5.
But Khalil Herbert has increased his speed in the NFL.
Khalil Herbert got games.
Yeah, he's increased his speed in
but
the
Johnson
NFL.
Might be too. I mean, I'm excited. Look, I called it. I wanted a safety. We got my safety. I said I wanted my playmaker. And if Roshan ends up being that guy, I mean, I wanted Bijan. I really did, but it's all good. I'm happy to see where we are with this, and we can have a nice running back room. I mean, shout out to Poles, man. This is just some good drafting so far, preseason. We're all kind of getting ready for the season, but this looks good in two years.
Yeah. Look at the savviness of it. Like you said, you didn't get Bijan at 8, right? We didn't reach to get him that early, which was good, 'cause we needed protection. We got protection from Justin. Great. You then use one of your later picks to get someone in that same system and comparable to Bijan in so many ways. I mean, like, it's really savvy. Like, he hit on all cylinders, man. So I have to give him credit where credit is due, because that right there was amazing. Once I really did the research and understood who we got, you know, leading off in that fourth, man, it's a masterclass in how to draft. And so I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I thought he did it. Oh, go ahead, Ringo. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, cause I think the whole night everybody was just talking about like, oh, are they gonna make the sexy pick? Are they gonna make the sexy pick? I feel like he's literally done that with every single position to the point where it's like, okay, y'all saying we need this, but I'm gonna go ahead and he's not the same guy. He's just above that, just a little bit more slept on. And if we just develop him a little bit, like these guys can be not possibly top of the line guys, but people that can contribute. I loved the interview last week with that Pat did last week on ESPN with Tommy. Mm-hmm.
Tommy Harris.
Tommy Harris, which was hilarious by what. By the way, he was talking about the two-gap system and how that some of these guys are going to fit right in because they played that same thing in they played that same system in college. So I think that absolutely he doesn't got the top-of-the-line guys, but he's definitely got those slept-on guys that definitely can contribute probably not day one, but can contribute later on down the season. Plus, if you get fired at Walmart,
I like Smitty's. I like Smitty's point about, like, you know, Barry Sanders playing behind Thurman Thomas. Like,
yeah,
there's tons of cases of guys that are like they're just loaded with talent. Yeah. And so if Roshan ends up being that guy, like, oh my goodness, to get us a starter. This is nothing new that we've gotten running backs in the fourth and fifth round.
Are you telling me that we can find running backs, Joe? What?
I got my new. Come here, baby.
You
go?
Oh, look at that.
We got grandbaby on the stream. Come on, baby.
Oh, now you want to be shy? Come on. You want to go? Come here. That's all right. Don't worry about it.
She said, I don't know you, strange man.
So, to me,
Joel's old, by the way. I don't know if y'all knew that or not.
Grandbaby's on the street. Talent, everything coming through.
No, you know, if I may do this, because I know not. We can only spend so much time, but well, thank you so much. But by the way, shout out to make sure that you all go look at the Tommy Harris interview over on the Chicago Bears podcast. Your boy Pat the Designer over there Chicago doing Bears. The big things. Yeah, voice of Chicago Bears right there, man. I love what my boy is doing right there. Pat the Designer. I love that little intro right there, right?
And now the third quarter, the first quarter through the fourth quarter stuff is cold. I ain't gonna lie.
Hey, listen, boys. Hey, listen. I know how to create sponsorship opportunities to sell.
Hey. There you go. I want to address this real quick, if you all don't mind, because I mean, third I know quarter. we're in the second half, and we're kind of already talking about it. There's a lot of smoke also about this that's been in recent media. Little rumors, Twitter. I've heard it online. I forgot exactly who the talking head was. Now, this could be both a good comment or a bad comment.
Mm-hmm.
When you see this, how do you take it? And for those who can't see this, those who may be listening on a podcast form, this is a comment that says, passing on Carter told me everything I needed to know about polls.
Shout out
to Robert Diaz. And so looking at that, how do you all feel about that?
Well, I share the same sentiments that I did when he first got drafted, because I legit turned over to you and said I feel like the reason why he didn't take him is because either he's seen somebody else which they feel like they have, or he's just totally not sold. And it could be one of the two, but like I said, that development aspect of it that I feel like Eberflus is going to bring to it is going to help them out. And I feel like even then, a shout out to the Eagles for getting them, because, okay, they feel like he's got some issues. And it's like I told you and Joel before when we were at the Hall of Justice. I told you they got the vets. They got the vets.
And we all definitely look like some superheroes on here, because I'm definitely in the Batcave. He definitely looks like he can be Superman right there. Pat is absolutely the Flash over here, if you really look at it, like over there. And I think Stefan Adam might be, what's my man, Green Lantern. Steph, I can see Stefan Adam being Green Lantern.
Steph is the Underminer from The Incredibles right now.
Hey, hold on, bro. Hey, I don't like that, though. Bro got like, all right.
We are the Underminer. Okay. We are here to dig out the...
For a year. Whoa, okay. He's here to do what? Okay. He's here to do what? What is he here to do, Joe?
Hold on, wait. We got to get this back on the rails here. Get this back on the rails here.
What?
Hey, Joe.
Bro only got 2 seconds of screen time, but what?
We got to roll this back. Oh, God, we're so immature.
He said he's here to dig out what is going on. Jesus.
You called him the Underminer.
Yeah. The Incredibles. Very children-friendly show. Good Lord.
That's his name. Man, what is going on?
Hey, you know what, Joe? I got to ask you this because, you know, and this is, I know we joke a lot, but you've seen a lot more Chicago Bears football than we have. He's right. You know, experience. I like the crown of wisdom there. What did this tell you? Like, normally, like we talked about this when we were at the Hall of Justice, your GM gets the best talent available. And for you, like, you come from an era where, hey, Bijan's the best athlete, you get Bijan, right? And there was a time where that's absolutely what you did. Well, but seeing him break away from that norm, what does this tell you, and what impression did it leave upon you?
Well, remember, we were sitting there, and, you know, it took him. I said he stayed disciplined. It was a disciplined pick. So you knew that, for the most part, him taking, he wanted to stay. He probably figured that he had saw the talent that he could see in the later rounds. But I really think that Carter really had some immaturity character issues. And I think that the whole point was they can't roll the dice on this guy to be the leader of this defense. This team is too young for him to be that guy. And no one's there. I believe that. So it made sense that the entire half of the Georgia defense is over there in Philly, and they can all corral him in. So, I trusted that he was going to make the right pick and not necessarily let the emotion get inside of or getting too caught up with the player. So him getting the lineman, it's a solid pick. We figure hopefully he finds someone based off him drafting what he did last year. Yep. No one expected him to hit on at least two or three of those players, and he didn't even have a first-round pick. Yep. So for him to get the safety, like, I could trust that, okay, they might have an actually really good scouting department. Because yeah. I've seen we've lived through the Jerry Angelo drafts. I remember Mark Hatley drafts. But a lot of, again, from the top down, we have an offensive identity for you to fit this scheme versus just getting players. Now, the old way of like, okay, yeah, just draft Bijan, because that's what Atlanta just did. They got Bijan, and he's going to be the workhorse, and they're just going to run him right to the ground.
Yeah,
is he really part of a system that's going to work for them? Or they make a flash in the pan decision? This is they're building a team. What Poles is doing, I like it.
I think, Pat, I'm going to frame this a little different for you, if you don't mind.
Right.
The reason why it's kind of up on this, and you're a lot more privy to these conversations. You get to see people that are closer to the situation, and yeah, there were a lot of former executives that were very critical of it. From your vantage point and what you can share, what's the overall feel of how he's going about it, and then obviously give your own comments on it if you can.
Whenever I see former execs weigh in on stuff, they form it for a reason. I need y'all to understand this. It doesn't mean that these guys are geniuses. Listen, there's a lot of guys that have gotten a job that the job was over their head. We've seen a lot of guys get jobs that they didn't deserve. In fact, that's most of the dudes that end up fired. All right, listen, Jim Boylan was an NBA head coach for like 6 years.
Right.
Jim Boylan once described an NBA play as the small forward came down and passed it to the point guard. The point guard threw it to the power forward, and he turned around and made a layup on TV as an analyst.
Yeah.
He don't know what he's talking about. So me, when I look at former exec, when I look at what these guys are going out and being critical on, it's because they wouldn't have made the move. That's why they are not in the league. Here's the main thing that I look at with what Ryan Poles did. To me, it's like Joel said. I think he made a great point. He followed his plan, Ryan Poles has set this plan out. He has not said that this plan is going to change. He has not deviated from this plan. He has been all about, and here's the thing that I think Bears fans should take seriously here. He's been all about helping Justin Fields. Remember that beginning where y'all were like, does he really want Justin Fields? Is he really invested in Justin Fields? Does he really believe that he's not going to be? Like, of course he's invested in Justin Fields, because making Justin Fields work is the biggest thing that he could accomplish as a GM. He could be the one, even though he did not draft him, to give Justin Field or to give Chicago a quarterback. He could be the one that put the staff in place that gives Chicago a quarterback. And so to me, I think that he's heavily invested, and he finally did something that wasn't the Chicago thing to do. You had a dominant three technique sitting on the board at 9, and we didn't take him. For the first time ever, the Chicago Bears are thinking offense first. Welcome to 2023.
The thing is, like, what I love is that this guy has an assistant GM.
Well, was allowed to hire one.
Right. The thing is that first of all, he came from a winning. Well, I would say most people, they try to come from a winning, you know, situation, but they're really doing well in Kansas City. Like, it wasn't just Pat Mahomes. They had been winning ever since Andy Reid got there.
Yeah.
And they've been able to have a nice run. Say what?
I said Matt Nagy came from there.
We talking about a GM, though.
We're not talking about him.
I'm just trolling, dog.
That was serious trolling. The whole point is that. Just Coach T. Yeah, I get it. The point is that from a GM standpoint, building from the top down, offensive identity, defensive identity, I don't think that we've really drafted for the scheme properly outside of Jerry Angelo drafting. He didn't even draft Urlacher.
No.
You know, he didn't draft half the guy. What he drafted was Hester. He drafted Tillman.
Yep.
Briggs.
Yep.
So, you know, based off the
Tommy
scheme
Harris
that they had.
Too. I think you got Tommy.
And Tommy Harris, yeah. They drafted Rex, but it was like, you know, but the point was that they didn't have an identity draft. Huh?
You gotta have one bust in a good draft.
But I'm just saying that when you're drafting players that fit your scheme. So just like they talked about was it Javon Dexter, right?
Yeah.
The whole point was that he was like Tommy broke down, penetrating defense versus penetrating versus
a two gap versus a one gap. So a penetrating defense versus a two gap system. Yeah.
Right. So Javon was really more of a two gap guy, and they switched the defense when he got to Florida.
No, otherwise.
He had enough talent to do okay or whatever.
He was a penetrating guy, and shout out to him. He was a one gap guy, and then they turned him into a two gap guy halfway through.
Exactly. Yeah. So the whole point is that he didn't fit the system. So if we're now getting a guy that can naturally play his natural position, even Tommy said that. That wasn't my skill set to play this certain role. And he got drafted to go to the – because they played that in college.
Yep.
So the whole point is, like, not just drafting a guy and throwing him. Even the quarterback. Like, everybody that you pick plays the role that hopefully we keep for the next 5-10 years.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I agree. I think that that's the biggest thing is that, like you said, Ryan Poles, I feel like is – shout out Coach T. I feel like Ryan Poles is
– we all prefer
people. I love
this reverse.
Whatever you're into. Whatever you're into, man. Whatever you're into.
Whatever you love, dog.
I think that the thing, like you said, that's really big is that if I see how everybody fits, I see how Tyler Scott fits. I see how Roshan Johnson fits. I see how Darnell Wright fits. I see how Javon Dexter fits. Zach Pickens fits. Zach Pickens is either going to be a 3 or a 1.
Right.
I see how these guys fit into the system, how they fit into the scheme. And so to me, I'm not saying I don't think that everybody in this draft is going to pan out. I just don't. Somebody's got to not pan out, right? Like based on the odds, somebody's got to not pan out.
Probably the later rounds. I
can see how every one of them fits.
Are we going to get a tux?
Hey, welcome back.
I'm just asking, Joe, because it's
yeah. Hey, he said, bring back Breeze. Bring Breeze After Dark back.
Yo.
Hey, kid ain't recovered Levante, yet.
That's what I'm saying. We're trying to focus here, man. We can't even just... Stop. Anyways.
Oh, man.
Why is it? It's always like we can say the most childish stuff through the whole thing, and the smallest thing will absolutely take kid out.
I wasn't prepared for it.
Hey, duh. He just kept, he kept
oh, man.
Digesting it. Like, that was a good one. I can't let it go.
He followed it up with the most serious comment. So that let me know he was serious. He hadn't heard what we said.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh, man.
He said it's key.
You guys are nuts.
Okay, I'm good. I'm good. I just have to get that one out. All right.
Oh, man.
Anyways, I think
going to be live on air. Well, you know what? Shaq and Chuck do it all the time. Maybe I will be.
Yeah,
right,
I mean,
but you know what? I mean, to your point, having this scheme in place, we should be. I can't wait to see this year go and even next year. Like, what now they can just draft, you know, just whatever they want. I mean, it's a couple people that they're going to end up grabbing, but I would think that, I would hope that the two tackles, defensive tackles, pan out.
Yeah.
And I think Roshan is the guy that might be the icing on the cake. I think four out of all these picks actually work. The other ones, what's the Cincinnati Bear? What's the
Tyler Scott?
Tyler
Scott.
Is he supposed to be a returner for us?
I mean, he might end up being your receiver, real time.
I think
4.29 speed. You better be going straight, my boy. You better be taking the top off of the defense.
I think he'll start out that way. I think he did special teams in college.
He did do special teams. He is Velus Jones' replacement. I know there's probably out of the 140 people in here, there's probably like 60 of them that are like, well, give Velus a chance. Velus ain't gonna get a chance. I hate to tell you.
I want you all to lean in. I want you all to lean in real quick.
I don't want
y'all give me a lot of smoke.
I don't want him.
This man trashes Velus Jones on the sly all the time. And he doesn't even do it with he doesn't even hide it. Like at this point, he's throwing shots Velus Jones way every show. What's your beef with Velus Jones, dog?
Bro,
he's been replaced.
What you trying to do is take the smoke off you for throwing strays at Lamar.
No, what he tried?
Oh, I told them. Hey, listen. Oh, Hail Mary, them strays. Hey, what you talking about?
Hey, them not even strays. He's aiming.
Listen, John Wick. What you talking about?
He's not even straight. He's trying to hit him. Here's the thing that I always say. Right. Here's the thing that I always say. He wears a Bears jersey. Prove me wrong. Shut me up. I want everybody on this team to shut me up. I want everybody to have me sitting here looking stupid on the show. Because you know what that means? If I look stupid on the show, that means that we're winning. I want to win. I want a football team that's winning. That's all I realistically care about. I want a wide receiver that is a deep threat, that's going to be able to go out there and make plays all the time. Ryan Poles drafted Velus Jones. What's his role going to be on this team?
We don't even know if Darnell Mooney is going to actually be 100% healthy. He's still tore his knee up.
Tyler Scott?
Well, they say he's already out there running. He's just he's going to be ready by training camp, basically.
Yeah, but my point is that doesn't mean he'll be himself. Like that's a serious injury.
Listen, might not be, but that means that your wide receiver shakeup is then DJ Moore, Chase Claypool, Equanimee St. Brown. Ugh. Where's the role for Velus on that?
I would say this. I mean, Velus has to prove himself in training camp. He should, if anything, this should be great for him that he had those mess ups that he had last year. If anything, if he can learn from that, I mean, if he comes back stronger, I mean, we've seen this before. Who had fumble issues and they had to used to tape the ball around his arm all the time? It was it Rondé Barber? He used to fumble. Your boy, Rondé Barber. He used to Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber used to fumble all the time.
Yeah.
They were twins. I was close.
Had a 50-50 shot.
Same thing, you know.
But it's to me, right, it's like Tyler Scott to me is probably taking his place on kick return. Punt return right now is Dante Pettis. That's why you brought him back. Is he a slot receiver? It's not shade. It's really just where does he fit?
Wait, Mooney hurt his ankle or his knee?
Mooney hurt his knee.
Yeah, his ankle, I think.
Oh.
It's the same thing that I was saying.
I mean, it's a bad injury, but he did mess up his ankle.
I thought it was his knee.
I mean – I think it's the same thing with I mean, with what I said before. I mean, the same thing with Isaiah Pacheco, right? With the Chiefs. I mean, he came in. He didn't start. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the guy. You put him on punt return. He shows you a couple things. Then Clyde Edwards-Helaire falls out of the running back rotation. He's like, okay, well, maybe we need to start running the ball. Can he carry the torch? He showed for a couple games. He did, and by the end of the season, he's the feature back. He's the feature back. Mahomes trusts him. And he's out there scoring like he should be. So I mean, as long as Tyler Scott comes in and keeps his head down and does what he's supposed to do, I mean, maybe Joel's right. With the Mooney thing, and then you know maybe he does get his shot and slides in there and does what he's got
to
do.
He might be motivated though. Like everybody's piling on Velus. Like he has to respond to that. Like the type of resolve that we hopefully see out of this guy. Like to me, that'd be great. He failed. He didn't do great. You know, he had some flashes, and hopefully he can learn. I mean, I would hope that he actually can learn from this, and we still got a nice, what was it, a third-round pick last year?
Yeah.
Like, we want him to do well hopefully he's motivated to do well.
I want him to do well, but listen, here's the thing. Realistically, more times than not, that don't happen. Again, yep. I would love to see you prove me wrong, but the comeback story is a special story for a reason. They usually don't happen. You don't give up on a guy after a year. That's nonsense.
I love this. Don't worry about this, Pat. I got it. You know what's funny about that? That's what happens all the freaking time. That's what happens all across the league with a lot. It's even elite players, or once upon a time elite players, who have one bad season. All of a sudden, they're trash. Russell Wilson has gone from elite or borderline elite to bottom of the league because of one bad season. So if you don't give up on a guy after 1 year, yeah, stop it. That's I hear what you're saying. You shouldn't. That's not reality.
It's not realistic.
It's not realistic.
We're talking.
They did that with Odell. They did that with Odell when he was in Cleveland. He get to LA, and all of a sudden he could play football again.
And here's the thing: the thing is, it doesn't mean that Velus Jones will never become a good receiver in the NFL. It doesn't, right? But what it means is right now he's not the fourth best receiver in your receiver room.
He has to get that moniker.
It's a
off
focus
of him at this point.
He's got talent. He to get to the NFL is not by accident, and it's clearly a focus.
Mitch
issue.
Is in the league,
huh?
Mitch is in the league.
Mitch, if you got a team right now and play pickup in the backyard, he would light you up.
Yeah, Mitch, me? I'm pop. Not in the NFL. Like, what
it's,
are we talking about?
It ain't
about?
Easy to get in the NFL. it's a small percentage. Listen, it's still a small percentage.
If I go get a group of dudes in the backyard and I go get dudes off of the practice squad, they're going to cook us in the backyard.
You're going to get cooked. The whole point is that it's only like What?
Right, be going.
That's true.
Bears cut him after he shanked 3-game winners. That's a fact.
Yeah, and then he went to do well in San Francisco.
He did well somewhere else.
So that goes to tell you that, hey, the person who scored the most points on your team got cut after 3 attempts, had a bad season, and now we wanted to pay
him. Let's also
the Bears don't. We want to. The Bears.
They didn't want to. No. They also didn't want to.
They didn't
want to pay
him. Yeah, they didn't want to pay him.
That was more about money.
They needed a reason. They weren't going to pay a kicker. Like, I think you wanted $8 million or $9 million.
It was more about the money.
You weren't
going to
pay a kicker $9 million.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I don't have an issue with that. The problem that I have is – hey, you got to replace that guy.
I like what Levante is saying. Velus will be the next Tariq. Might be that gadget guy. Maybe he's the Debo that everybody that
the next guy that does it.
Absolutely
end up
not. Debo is
maybe. Debo's maybe. Here's what I say. Show me, because your rookie year looked awful when you're 30 years old. He's not. He's like 25, but still.
You go at the age. It's not 40 no more.
I mean, he ain't did nothing bad in the last 4 weeks. Hey, so I can't
y'all
say
y'all judging him my age. So I mean, why would he not do that to Velus? So.
Hey, listen. This man has a heart. His rookie year, he was as old as Joel out here. You know what I mean?
Hey, real quick. You know how I knew Joel's old? So like, I'm pulling up the Joel's crib for the draft you did, right? And then my pops had like this old song on. And Joe came outside. My dad was like, man, what you know about that? He's like, I don't know about that. I was like, nah, ain't no way.
Joe is the middle child. Hey,
baby, it ain't nothing but the rent out here. You know?
Hey, legit, that's what it was. Hey.
Joe is the middle child of generations here. He's like big bro and little bro all at once.
He's
in
J.
so
Cole.
Many different aspects. He's
Like, nah, dog. Hey.
With less hair. He's J. Cole with less hair.
I say this, though. If we're having this conversation as to whether Velus Jones is on the roster or not, that means Pose did well. And at the end of the day, if he's done well,
because we were talking about him being a potential number one last year.
Like, come on, like we've done well, and so I think that's a perfect way and perfect antidote to end the show on, because we now have confidence and faith that we're going to have a good season. Like, and that's saying a lot. From the stuff that we've been through. So
I look at him.
A
I look
good
at Poles,
season based on our standards.
If I compare Poles to Angelo to Pace, and well, Emery was just
Emery was an idiot.
He was just doing whatever.
Emery was an idiot.
Like Angelo,
you can say that safely.
Yes. Okay. Hey,
like
I bet you he's one of those former GMs that don't like the moves. Hey, look, hey.
I look at, like, because to me, Pace, I like that Pace would gamble to a degree to get the guy. Like, Angelo wouldn't do that. I just remember when we had, I want to say we had the fourth pick and traded down because they didn't want to take, they didn't believe in Terrell Suggs. Mm-hmm. They didn't think he was a special player. And it was like, why not go for that? But I think it ended up being Michael Haynes and Grossman that year. And which is like trash. Like,
I feel like we took Grossman high.
No, he was. They were like 14 and was like he? 21 yeah, or something gross. Like that. Because Pittsburgh gross, had two picks too. Yeah. Pittsburgh took Polamalu and someone else in that same draft.
That's right. We missed on a lot of Hall of Famers in there.
Yeah, we missed on a Hall of Famer. Like the scouting department. Like, yeah. So I think that maybe we finally get a competent scouting, scouting department with the GM who's disciplined. And sticks to his gun. So it's like maybe we're getting the best, you know. Yeah. And the fact is that the man got a fourth round pick and traded down one spot and still got the guy he wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. He wanted Darnell Wright. They'd have took Darnell Wright at 9. They would have took Darnell Wright at 9. They were never gonna take Jalen Carter.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
They identified what they wanted. They wanted to do something for the offensive line, they did it.
Yep.
So yeah. You got a fourth round pick and you got the guy you were going to take regardless of it. So, hey man, appreciate you guys for showing love as always. Make sure that you hit that like button, subscribe to the page. If you have not done so, leave a 5-star review on the podcast side, man. Y'all already know how we get down out here. For the super producer, Joel Holt, Stefan Adan, and the pettiest man alive, Mr. P Kid. I'm your boy, Pat, the designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out of Chicago. Peace.
Remember, in the gap, penetration is key.
Wild.
Now, boom.
Is that what you was laughing at?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.